It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This hour, Catholic nuns who've spent their lives trying to make a difference as political activists. Coming up in the second half hour, my colleague John Pemble's conversation with Sister Helen Prejean. You may remember that she wrote about her work with inmates on death row in Dead Man Walking. It's a book that's now been made into an opera, and that opera is being performed at the Des Moines Metro Opera starting this weekend through July. First, though, one of the so-called nuns on the bus. You may remember that bus tour passing through Iowa in 2012. Sister Simone Campbell was one of the nuns on that bus tour, and she's my guest in this first half hour. Simone Campbell is a Roman Catholic religious sister, a lawyer, lobbyist, and executive director of NETWORK, a national Catholic social justice lobby. She's also author of the new book, A Nun on the Bus, How All of Us Can Create Hope, Change, and Community. It's a book that features stories from the nuns on the bus tour and from Sister Simone's own life as a figure in today's progressive Christian movements. Sister Simone, welcome to our program.
Oh, glad to be with you.
There have been two tours, actually. Let's talk about the first one. What prompted the first one in 2012?
In 2012, what happened was that we had a lot of notoriety because the Vatican had named us as being a bad influence on Catholic sisters in the United States, and the press was really interested in us. And very quickly, I got tired of talking about being a Catholic sister because we're all about our mission, about caring for those who are most left out. And so the question became, what do we do? And we've been pushing back against the Paul Ryan budget for a couple of years by then and hadn't gotten much traction. And I asked for advice from a large group of folks in D.C., and at the end of an hour and a half meeting, we ended up with this idea of nuns on the bus. And no one really knows who first said road trip or do this, but it was very clear at the end of an hour and a half that we're going on the road. We were pushing back against the Paul Ryan budget as being the wrong way forward for our nation and lifting up the works of Catholic sisters. And as they say, the rest is history. It was pretty surprising, but it was a great extension of what we do, what we have been doing daily on Capitol Hill for 40 years. So it was a great opportunity.
You came through Iowa on that first bus tour exactly 2 years ago in 2012. And we have a little bit of audio of you recorded speaking at the Holy Trinity Catholic Church. This is in Beaverdale on June 18th, 2012. And it talks a little bit about specifically your problem, your issues with the Paul Ryan budget. Let's listen.
It's shocking that CEOs would get an increase when the very people who create their wealth don't. That's wrong in a nation that holds itself out as a democracy of we the people. And what Paul Ryan wants us to think, and what he says is, it's his Catholic social teaching that made him do that. His Catholic social teaching. If he had never uttered those words, I don't think we'd have a bus trip. He made me mad. But what he did, what he's trying to hide from us, is he's saying Catholic social teaching is all about the responsibility of the individual. It's just down to the individual to pull him or herself up by the bootstraps. But this is one place where Pope Benedict is on our side. Now, I have to confess, his encyclical, Charity and Truth, is a little boring to read. But when you get to the nuggets of it, what is said clearly in there is that you can only have individual responsibility as a key, as a keystone, if you have intense solidarity. If we are one in our spirit of community, if we know what each other needs, if we know and respond to the needs of the community, then we can have individual responsibility. And it's the role of government to counter the excesses of any culture. And in our culture of individualism, the role of Catholic social teaching is to counter that individualism with a keen knowledge of solidarity.
Sister Simone, that was you 2 years ago speaking in Iowa on the first Nuns on the Bus tour in Beaverdale at Trinity Catholic church. We hear some of the feedback from the audience at that specific location. Talk more generally about what you met when you went through, I think, 9 states. Iowa was one of them.
Yes, we started in Iowa, actually, at that event at Holy Trinity. That was the very first night. It was amazing. Well, the thing that actually Pope Francis, who's now Pope, is making really abundantly clear is that we are in this together, that we need to care for each other, and that the common good is what we need to strive for, and that the role of government, he says very clearly, is to ensure that the common good is met. And so for us in our nation, what that means is that we need to create community, not be divided the way we are in fear and individualism. The fact is, I think some people are plain afraid because they know no one has their backs, that we don't have the comfort of knowing that we're in this together. When we know we're in this together, then, and that you will care about me and I care about you, then we can make really a difference in our society. Then we care for each other. But this idea that rich people should just get more money and poor people don't really matter is a huge problem in our society.
Right, and part of it, you must agree, has to do with the fact that our country, more than most any other country on the planet, was founded on individualism.
Actually, I don't agree with that at all.
Okay.
The fact is that the Constitution is how we organize ourselves. It is true that our country was founded on rebelling against the imposition of taxes from a remote monarch in England. That's true. But the fact is that the Constitution says very clearly what we're founded on. We, the people of the United States. It doesn't say we, the rich ones, we, the ones who got here first, we, the citizens. It says we, the people. We're a communitarian society. And our history has been rewritten of late to try to make it look like we were founded in individualism. That's wrong. You just look at the West. We try to think that, on the Wild West, you know, they were all individuals, rugged individuals going out there. But the fact is, people went out in wagon trains of communities. People formed towns and communities. People had barn raisings. You can't raise a barn by yourself. You can't have a quilting bee by yourself. Everybody came together to make their society. And our current rewriting of the founding story is very worrisome.
Okay, okay.
We are about community.
Mm-hmm. So it's been rewritten. Who or what were the rewriters? How did this happen?
How did it happen? Well, I've been trying to figure that one out myself. But when you look back at recent history over the last 40 years, you can see a real thread moving in that direction. Part of it was President Reagan's approach to his whole campaign was about individualism and the strength of the individual. And there was the picture of the Marlboro Man, if anybody remembers that, if you're my age, you will, the lone cowboy riding over the hill into the sunset. And that was held up as the epitome of the American dream. And it was in that reality began to drive us apart. Another thing that I think has happened is with our great mobility in our society, moving to jobs, moving to be in new locations for school, we've lost some of the rootedness of communities. So in Iowa, we certainly experienced a lot of communities that really had that strong sense of solidarity. I think in other parts of our nation, that's not as true. And that loneliness then creates this fear, which then generates more individualism. Mm-hmm. It's a couple of things.
Why did you choose Iowa as the kickoff state for that initial 2012 tour?
Well, to tell you the truth, we were going to start in with Paul Ryan's district in Janesville, Wisconsin, not too far from you all. But then there's a whole bunch of Catholic sisters in Iowa, and they said, Simone, you've got to come to Iowa. You can't leave us out. So then we were going to do Dubuque, and then where there's 7 religious communities of women. And then the Sisters of Humility Mary said, well, you should start in our capital. You need to start in Des Moines. And that's how we kept getting pulled further west. Mm-hmm. It was really a great reception.
Would you call Iowa a center of progressive Christian movement?
I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think your folks in Iowa would have to answer that question more. It certainly is the heart of a commitment of Catholic sisters to making a difference in society. When we were in Dubuque, when we saw the amazing work that's being done there with the collaboration among the different religious communities, it's amazing. They have a homeless shelter. They have education as a second language, a food pantry. They do all kinds of education work as well as social services. It was an amazing array of services provided for folks who are low-income folks in that area, and I was really touched and impressed by the work there. So certainly in the places that we saw a high commitment to doing what Jesus did, reaching out to those who have less and who are left out of our economy.
If you've just joined us, my guest this first half hour is Sister Simone Campbell, a Roman Catholic religious sister, lawyer, lobbyist, executive director of Network, a national Catholic social justice lobby, also author of a new book, A Nun on the Bus, How All of Us Can Create Hope, Change, and Community. Yes, she was one of the nuns on the bus in 2012. Also in 2013, let's talk about that tour. The focus of that tour was immigration. That was the theme. Why immigration?
Well, we knew that to get immigration out the past, to fix our broken system, was going to take every ounce of energy that we have, and it still does. We still have a very, very small, narrow window to make it happen before the August recess this year, and we're still working on it. But what we wanted to do was to go and highlight the bold Republican senators and members of Congress who were standing up for immigration reform, for fixing this broken system. And so we basically went down the east coast of our country and then across the south, up California. The metaphor, I'm a poet too, so my metaphor was the going from Ellis Island in New York Harbor to Angel Island in San Francisco Bay. And what a lot of people don't know is Angel Island is the Ellis Island of the West, where Asian immigrants were held until they could be screened and connected with their families. So that was our effort to say that this is about all of us. We're all in this together. And to affirm the politicians who are making the right choice for the sake of our economy and for the sake of our nation.
I'm sure to many ears, you sound very partisan. How do you counter that charge?
Well, I mean, we did a bus trip that was basically supporting Republicans. So, I mean, that's part of it. But it is true that some of our social policy pieces are more aligned with the Democratic Party. But I call myself an equal opportunity annoyer. We're currently pushing the Obama administration to greatly improve the situation for deportees, folks in our nation who are being deported. I'm willing to annoy anybody for the sake of our people.
A Nun on the Bus, your memoir was published in April of this year. Melissa Reagan, a Sundance Award-winning filmmaker, I see, is making your book into a documentary. You're also front and center in another documentary that is set to be released this year called Radical Grace. Let's listen to some of the trailer from that film.
The Vatican reprimanded America's Catholic nuns. The Holy See charged the group with promotion of radical feminist
feminist themes incompatible with the Catholic faith.
Last week, the Vatican criticized the nuns for focusing too heavily on promoting issues of social justice.
She was accused of not speaking out strongly enough against gay marriage, abortion, or making women priests.
Very respected.
Okay, part of the trailer from Radical Grace, a film coming out. You're one of the nuns featured in this film, Sister Simone. Give us some background on the criticism voiced in those news reports that we heard. When did that happen? Where was the brunt of the criticism? What was the brunt of the criticism coming from within your Catholic Church?
I know. Hearing that clip makes me takes me back to, that was 2012, and that really is the criticism that resulted in the bus trip. And what came from the Congregation for the Doctrine of the Faith in Rome saying that the Leadership Conference of Women Religious was focusing too much on issues of poverty and not doing enough on abortion and gay marriage. The ironies of it is that, from my perspective, the Holy Spirit works in the midst of all of this. And while I found that criticism extremely painful, the part that, because of just having dedicated my life to working for the poor and then being told that we were doing it wrong, was painful. But yet, on the other hand, what, from my perspective, the Holy Spirit did with that was to give the opportunity for the bus and to let our nation then begin to talk about poverty in a way that we haven't for a very long time. Catholic sisters for decades have worked in low-income communities without any notoriety, without any attention being drawn to them. And I really thought we were unseen. But what that criticism did was to lift up the works of Catholic sisters. And it was so heartening when the lay people stood up and stood with us. Was an awesome, awesome experience, of a humbling experience to see that we were indeed seen and we were valued. The challenge is that any organization that is run only by male leadership finds strong women intimidating. And I think that's where the problem is that in the 1950s and 60s, we were urged as to get a higher education, to become proficient in our professions, to get advanced degrees, to engage in strong and active engagement in the civil life of our society and in politics. And we took it seriously. And now I think some of our leaders have been a little puzzled as to what to do with us. They find it a little nervous-making.
So what do you see in the future and the evolving role of women in the Catholic Church?
Well, I think it is evolving, that's for sure. Pope Francis, a couple of weeks ago, appointed a new commission for the first time, had half men, half women, and the women have equal power with the men. So, I mean, that is a significant but small movement forward. And I think the fact that in many dioceses, women are taking leadership roles, in many parishes, that women are the... I've been in several parishes lately where the priest goes around to two or three parishes, and it's the women, basically, that run the church. So I think that's evolving over time and becoming clearer that Jesus intended all of us, or God intended all of us to live in dignity and to share the spiritual journey, to lead it, too.
It was in 2012 that you took that first Nuns on the Bus tour. Pope Benedict was the Pope at that point. Now we have Pope Francis. He's enjoying tremendous popularity worldwide. In your view, what's at the heart of that popularity?
Well, I think part of it is that he's a pastoral person. He understands people, and he is not just talking about things, he's living the reality. The fact that he has stepped away for some of the pomp and circumstance of the office, the fact that he is engaging with people, the fact that he is understanding of diversity of thought and yet reaches out in prayer, and really what I see Jesus doing in the gospel all the time, loving those who are most marginalized, I think that is like a breath of fresh air to our world, and not just to Catholics, but to our world, to have that quality of leadership, that it's not about power or money, but it's about how closely can we relate to each other. I have to say it's really refreshing to me. And in the bus trips, we saw really a big difference, because the first bus trip was when Pope Benedict was the Pope, and then the second was when Pope Francis was there. And Pope Francis, because of Pope Francis, I think we got five different bishops to come out to our various events, which we did not do on our first bus trip. So that was a big change for me.
So the reception was completely different.
It was always enthusiastic, but we had more of our bishops and our leadership engaged on the second one than we did on the first one, which was really heartening that we could stand together on this.
Mm-hmm. You're quoted as saying the Holy Spirit makes mischief in surprising ways. I think many would say you are a mischief maker within the Catholic.
Hopefully in the spirit.
Okay. Yeah. Explain what you mean by that comment, making mischief in surprising ways. Maybe one of the ways that you've witnessed that mischief being made.
Well, I think that my spiritual life, I've got to talk a little bit about my spiritual life so that you can understand this, is that I know the promise of the gospel is that the Spirit is given to us at all times. We are never left orphaned. And even in the most challenging times, that all things work to the good, that there is gift and grace at every moment if we just open our eyes to see it. And my life is like a surprise to me. I'm just totally stunned by it and pray that it is the Holy Spirit working in the midst of it, giving us this opportunity to speak publicly about the needs of people left out in our society, about the care that we hold for the 100%, about the ways that we can come together as a nation. Who would have thought it? I entered my community 50 years ago this year, and I would never in all my dreams have ever thought of doing the things that I'm doing now. And for me, that is the Holy Spirit's mischief, and may it be used to the good. That's all I pray.
Sister Simone, we've got about a minute left. You are a nun who works in social justice, in the realm of politics. So many people listening are just plain fed up with politics, the money, the process, the attack ads. Give us some hope for the future of politics in this country as we end.
Well, thank you for asking that question. It's so important because here's the thing. It's we, the people, that need to stand up. We need to be community. We need to reclaim our Constitution and have hard conversations with each other because there's diversity of positions or views on how we move forward. But what is abundantly clear is that we, the people, have got to stand up against big money because big money, they're trying to buy or control outcomes of the political reality for corporate benefit. That's not who we are as a nation. So what I think in faith is that standing up with those most marginalized, those most left out, then we create community. Then we can make a difference. And you know what? We've seen it on the bus. It's happening, and it's happening now.
Sister Simone, thank you for this conversation. Very quickly, you coming back to Iowa?
Keeping my fingers crossed. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully I will be.
Soon. Okay. Sister Simone Campbell, thank you very much. The author of the new book, A Nun on the Bus, How All of Us Can Create Hope, Change, and Community. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Coming up in the second half hour, my colleague John Pemble's conversation with Sister Helen Prejean. You may remember she wrote about her work with inmates on death row in Dead Man Walking. It's a book that's now been made into an opera, and it's being performed by the Des Moines Metro Opera starting this weekend, running through July. That's when we return. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.